We're all going to die if the Lord tarries. That's just the way it is. Life is the fact that you're living for sure. Death is coming. That's just the way it is. Preaching about death this morning, this body one day, went through that. They're going to put it back in the ground. It'll turn back to dust. The spirit of life that God breathed in you, the breath of life, that spirit goes back up to the Lord, and your soul is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And that's the only two places. That's it. We talked a little bit about that this morning, about death. But I want to preach a little different about death this morning, about tonight. But I want to preach a message I call a Christian's bucket list. A Christian's bucket list. Anybody know what a bucket list? Everybody know what it is? A bucket list is the things you want to do before you die. That's what it means. It's a list of things you want to do before you kick the bucket. And I looked that phrase up, kick the bucket. I wanted to figure out where in the world did that come from. Because it means when you die, you know, they say, well, he kicked the bucket. Well, then where that come from, years ago, people would commit suicide and they would hang themselves. That's how they would do it. That was the number one way, Miss Martha. And what they would do, they would stand on a bucket. They'd stand on a bucket and tie the noose around their neck. And when they got ready to die, they'd kick the bucket out from under them. And that's where the phrase kick the bucket comes from. So you learn something already. But I want to preach on just a Christian's bucket list, some things. And this, what I'm going to give you tonight, let me say, these are just common sense things. These are things that everybody in this building, if you're saved, let me say, if you're not saved, first of all, you need to get saved. That's the number one thing on your bucket list. But these are common sense things. And these are things that everybody in this building should gladly say, amen, preacher, preach it. Amen. These are just some things. But you know what I find out with God's people a lot of time? Common sense is not so common anymore. Amen. There are just some things we need to be reminded. We need to be stirred up by way of remembrance. And we need to hear it over and over again and again and again. And one day you're going to kick the bucket. Yeah. Just the way it is. A lot sooner than you ever thought you would, you're going to kick the bucket. And I'm going to give you a Christian bucket list. Over in the book of Amos chapter 4 verse 12. Which we got on our sign up there. I'm not asking you to turn to it. But it says this. Prepare to meet thy God. And I got, are you prepared? And we know that to be as a lost person, you need to get saved to be prepared. But not only that, as a child of God, there are some things as a child of God, as a Christian, there's just some common sense things, Miss Martha, that we need to do before we kick the bucket. There's a Christian bucket list. And I wish to give you a few. The Bible said, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. You look around this room, like I mentioned this morning, there's seats all over this room, this building, since I've been coming here 9.5 years, since I've been pastoring this church for 6 years, there's seats all over this building where people used to sit in that have gone home to be with the Lord. Your day's coming. And it's coming a lot sooner than you ever dreamed. And I was going to give you some things. And one day, the Bible says, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 14. Let's go to Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3. Just kind of the text tonight. Romans chapter 14. And one day, you and I are going to stand before God. And there's some things that you and I need to do before you meet the Lord. First thing you need to do is get saved. But I'm talking about Christians now tonight. There's a Christian bucket list and some things to do before you kick the bucket. Romans chapter 14, 12, a great verse says this. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You're not going to blame the church. You won't blame your husband. You won't blame your wife. You won't blame your friends. You won't blame the preacher. You're going to give account of yourself to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And God's going to judge you. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And as a child of God, you and I, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is very clear. I've got a message on it. I'm not preaching on this exactly, but I want just to show you, brethren, that one day you'll stand before God. You're going to give account for your works, what you've done on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's where you get saved. For any other, or now if any man build upon this foundation, that's after you're saved. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, not your sin, but your works. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work and what sort it is. God's going to judge you one day for what you do after you got saved. And it's going to go through that fire. If any man's work abide, he shall receive build thereon. After you got saved, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. And there's no doubt about it, you're going to give account to God one day. There's no doubt about it, you're going to stand in judgment seat of Christ. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says one time, every idle word, you'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, every thought. And there's just some things that you and I, these are just common sense things, these are basic things that you need to do before you meet God. And you're going to meet Him very soon. Very soon. If it's 5 years, it's very soon. If it's 10 years, it's very soon. What is your life? It's but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanished away. Life flies. I want to say the first thing on the bucket list you need to do as a child of God, you need to read this Bible from cover to cover. I am shocked by the number of Christians that have never read their Bible. Blows my mind. How can you be saved and not read the Bible? I heard a preacher, John Haberman, in Pensacola preaching a while back. He says statistics show that 95% of professing Christians have never read their Bible through. God forbid! Listen, you don't want to meet God and stand before God and you've never ever read the Bible through. That'd be terrible. Before you meet God, on your bucket list, number one ought to be that you have at least read this Bible through. Brother Earl Ankrum of the fifth grade education read it through over 200 times. Charlie Andrews, man, that guy, he never picked up a book in his life. He's read it through over 150 times. Listen, before you meet God, before you stand in judgment, read that Bible through from cover to cover. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you can grow thereby. I've had people say, well, I'd like to grow in the Lord. I'll tell you how to do it. Read your Bible. I've had people come to me before many times and they say, preacher, pray that I have more faith. I can have more faith. And I say, I'm not going to pray that. They say, why? Because God's told you how to do it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want more faith, turn off the TV, turn off the internet, get in that book and spend some time in it. Turn off Facebook and get in the faith book. This is where the faith comes from. Before you meet God, read this Bible through. That ought to be the top of your bucket list. Because I'm going to tell you, friend, when you close your Bible, when you close the Word of God, when you go home and you just lay that Bible and you close the Word of God, I tell you what you do. You close the God of the Word. Can't help you. You know what it said in 1 Thessalonians? It said, wherefore, 1 Corinthians 15, it said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Not the internet, not Fox News, not CBS, not TV, with these words. Listen, it ought to be on your bucket list that you're going to read that Bible through from cover to cover. I gave you a statistic a while back. Barna Research did a survey of the Bible. I know this is true. And it said in there, 76% of African American Christians read their Bible every day. 76% of African American Christians. But that same survey, I gave it to you, the same survey said only 10% of white Protestant Christians read their Bible every day. That's terrible! And I tell you, I've witnessed about 10 or 15 people every day at the park or in public, and me and Brother Ben was talking about it. And I can tell you, talking to these black people, I can tell you that's true, because they're a lot closer to God than most white people. You say, why?
they're reading their Bible. Listen, it ought to be on your bucket list, the leading thing, to read that Bible through. And the Lord expects that from us. He said in Luke 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said in John 14, if you love me, keep my words. Throughout the Bible, he talks to the Pharisees and disciples. Matthew 12:3, but he said, have you not read what David did? Matthew 12:5, have you not read in the law? Matthew 19, have you not read over and over? He says, hadn't you read it? Hadn't you read it? Didn't you read it? You know what God expects you to do? To read and feed on this book. Top of the bucket list ought to be reading this Bible. At least one time for cover to cover. I can't believe a Christians can't do that. We have 365 days. In those 365 days is 8,760 hours. 525,600 minutes in a year. And it takes, you know how long it takes to read this Bible, pulpit rate? Pulpit rate is what Alexander Scorby. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, behold, thou art my brother. That's pulpit rate. Everybody, when you pick up the Bible and you read it to yourself, you're reading it faster than pulpit rate. Pulpit rate, it takes 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible through. If you take 72 hours and divide it by 365 days, that is less than 12 minutes a day in the Bible to get through it in 1 year. Now, don't the Lord Jesus had died on the cross and shed His blood and loved you, doesn't He deserve at least 12 minutes of your day in the Word of God? I want to tell you the bucket list. Number one, read that Bible, read that Bible, read that Bible. Don't dare meet God without reading the Word of God at least one time through. I could go on and on and on, on and on and on about that. I got all kind of Bible reading plans in the back. I got a 90-day, I got a yearly, got all kind of things to try to encourage you to read your Bible, read your Bible. When I get up in the morning before I worked, if I got up at 6, when I went to UAB, when I worked at UAB, I'd go in at 6. I'd get up 30 minutes, whatever time I had to get up. I have to get up at 4, I'll get up at 3:30. If I got to get up at 5, I'll get up at 4:30. But I'm going to get up 30 minutes and give God 30 minutes of my life before I get started. I want to spend some time in the Word of God. I want to spend some time with the God of the Word. I don't want to go out that door without being right with God. 12 minutes a day will get you through the Bible. He deserves that. One of the top of the bucket list. Read that Bible through. Don't dare meet God without reading that Bible through. But man, love me. He'll keep my words. Years ago when I was a little bitty guy, about 7 or 8, somewhere around there, I remember 9, 10, I don't remember. But I was a little bitty guy. And I don't remember a whole lot past in my life. But the Lord has allowed me through the years, the bad stuff is kind of totally gone. I don't even remember that stuff. It's amazing. But some of the good things in my life that God wants me to remember, I can remember them vividly. And I remember as a little guy, my daddy, one time in his life, I remember it, he told everybody in the family, he said this. He got them together and he said this. He said, I'm going to read this Bible through. And my daddy couldn't read very well. He was about, everybody in here would be a PhD compared to that cat. He was bad. Now, my mother was smart, but my daddy, literally, he couldn't hardly write his name. Seriously. Reading for him was hard. But he got us together one time. He said, I'm going to read this Bible through. I'm going to read it from Genesis. I want to know what's in it. I'm going to read every page, every word in it. He said, I'm going to read it. And he did. He'd go in his bedroom at night, I can remember, and he'd shut the door. And before he shut the door, you'd see him, he had an old Bible. I got the same Bible at home. And he'd set that Bible and sit on the bed like this with his finger going across it. And he read it through. Took him a long time. Listen, You ought to make it a chore, make it a priority above everything, that I'm going to read that Bible through. It ought to be ahead of the bucket list. Number one, read your Bible from cover to cover. Let me say another on the bucket list. You ought to be able to lead at least one person. You ought to be able to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be on your bucket list. You ought to make it a priority in your life. If you've been saved, you ought to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. I got saved on Wednesday night, January the 30th, 1975, Pleasant Grove, Alabama, at Randy Mills' house. Walked out at about 7:30. Around 9:15 that night, Miss Martha, I led my first person to the Lord. About 2.5 hours later. I worked with a bunch of hellions there at the bank. We worked third shift. We were rock and rollers. We played in a band. And they let us bring our band equipment in there to the bank. And we had practiced and everything. And within a couple of weeks in the bank, I led every one of those guys, Brother Al, to the Lord. Every one of them. And I'm probably one of the worst soul winners you've ever seen in your life. I'm not good at talking with people. We was out at Home Depot a couple of years ago at Christmas. Y'all remember that, some of you? And we was at Christmas time. We was walking around Home Depot passing out some gospel tracts. And I passed out a guy at Home Depot, and his name was Mike Julian. Mike Julian was a guy I used to play guitar with. He's one of the best musicians I've ever seen. This guy was a chain smoker. I mean, he had two cigarettes going. Had long stringy hair, tall skinny guy, long stringy hair. He could suck a bottle out of a beer, man. He wouldn't take drugs, he was too paranoid, but he'd drink a lot of beer. And this guy was one of the best guitarists I've ever seen, and I led him to the Lord there at the bank 40-something years ago. And I saw him at Home Depot, and that guy is still serving God. He's made a lot of CDs and albums for kids with his guitar, praising God. Now, wouldn't you like to have something like that on your resume? Yes. We got a ministry, Dial the Truth Ministries. And people call and listen to messages. We've had it for 30-some years. And they call it up. Now they can select a menu and pick what they want. But back in the first we started doing it, it's just one message. They call the number. We advertise it in the thrifty nickel and places. And that phone would ring over and over. It'd wear out answering machines. But one was a message on hell. One Friday night, and I had my number there. You could call me. And one Friday night, three teenagers called me. And they heard the message and got on the phone. And I talked to them and led all three of them to the Lord on the phone. All three of them got saved. And I got up the next morning, Saturday morning, and about 8 o'clock or so, the phone in the kitchen rang. And this is like 20 years ago, and I grabbed the phone in the kitchen, and I answered, said, "Hello." And a lady was crying, and she said, thank God for Terry Watkins, thank God. It's one of those boys' mother. She is a precious Church of God lady. She had been witnessing to that boy, planting the seeds, praying for that boy, and I led that boy to the Lord of the phone, and he come to her later and said, "Mama, I got saved over the phone. A man named Terry Watkins led me to the Lord, and he said, I'll be in church with you Sunday morning." Yeah. Now, wouldn't you like to have that on your resume? You can. I can give you more over and over and over. I led old boy to the Lord down there in Pensacola. I was telling Brother Earl about him. He had the longest hair I've ever seen on anybody. It was way down to here. It's jet black, parted in the middle. Wham! Covered him, man. Me and Dale Waller were in the parking lot witnessing some young folks. We went in the 7-Eleven to get a Coke or something. And he was standing there with a beer in his hand, this guy, and smoking a cigarette. And I said, "Hey, buddy, let me give you a little gospel track." And he reached something in his pocket, and he pulled out a whole handful of them that he'd been picking up, reading. And that guy had been trying to get saved. He ran away from home years ago, and the Bandito motorcycle gang kidnapped him. Thought one of them's daughter ran away from him. They tied him up to a tree, and they put a shotgun in his mouth, a double-barrel shotgun, going to blow his brains out. Thought his daughter run him. Then he had an LSD trip. In the LSD trip, he said he could see himself in hell and screaming in hell. He bought Bullinger's book on systematic theology. He had books he was searching and trying to figure out how in the world to get saved.
And I just got to come along and pick that old fruit.
Amen.
And that night, Brother Al, I went at 7-Eleven, this old hippie, that old guy here down here. And I led him to the Lord this Saturday night. And his name was Jim Wilson. I said, "Jim, how about go to church with me tomorrow night and make it public and walk down the aisle?" He said, "I'll be here." And I had a lot of them tell me that. They don't show up. But that Sunday night, I went back to the 7-Eleven where he was at. I'll never forget. He was standing out there, Brother Chris. And I saw him. He said, "Let's split, man." He got in the car with me. Went to church with me that night. Started going to Bible classes with me. Dr. Ruckman allowed us to bring people in there. And he'd sit in the Bible class and had that long hair that he cut it about here. And he cut it, kept cutting it. I didn't ever said a word to him about his hair. And he finally got a haircut like us, you know. After he got hanging around us. One day, Dr. Ruckman preached on the prodigal son. And he got through. And Brother Jim Wilson, he told me after the service, he said, "I got to go home." He said, I got to go home and show them what God's done for me. He said, "I got to show them how great things God has done." He ran away from home. He's from Houston, Texas. And he went back to Houston, Texas. Went to old Jack Woods Church, man. That's a wild one. I sent him there. That guy was something else. About a year later, me and my cousin, it was summer. I'll never forget it. And we played tennis during the summer. It was fixing to go out the door. We had our tennis rackets. Heard a knock on the door. I mean, we was just about to open the door. And I opened the door, and there it was. There was old Brother Jim. And he was standing, big smile. I said, "Jim, what in the world are you doing here?" He said, "I'm on vacation." He said, "Guys at work," he said, "I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Pensacola." And they said, "What are you going to do? Going down there to see the beach?" He said, "No, I'm going down there to see the guy that led me to the Lord." Hey, wouldn't you like to have that on your resume? Listen, you can. There's souls out there. I could go on and on and on. My wife led a little boy to the Lord here a couple of weeks ago at the lake. We've led 10 or 15. I've led them in the lines at Walmart. I've led them in grocery stores. I've led them on the side of the road. Listen, before you leave this earth, lead someone to Jesus Christ. One of the greatest joys you'll ever have is leading that soul to Jesus Christ. Take your Bible real quick. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I could go on and on and on and on. Old David Beard led that old boy the Lord. Came here, went home to be the Lord last September. Spent 17 years in prison. Man, oh man, oh man, what a soldier for the Lord. He had been saved for 6 months. He came to me. He said, "Brother Terry, I just led my 33rd person to the Lord." At 6 months, he'd been saved. I got grandchildren from that guy. I got great-grandchildren. I got great-great-great-grandchildren. That guy led so many people to the Lord, him and his wife. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven and have some folks up there and they say, and the Lord might say, "Hey, here's your spiritual father. Here's the one that led you to the Lord." Aren't you glad that somebody took the time and led you to the Lord? Don't you want to pass it on? Before you leave this earth, lead someone to the Lord. Brother David, his grandson, Nick, has a brain tumor I've told you about. And they had to have blood drives for him. And had a big blood drive at Mountain View Baptist Church. That's where we went to school. He went to Mountain View. That's where we told him to go. And I went there that day to give some blood. And Brother Mike Rouse, he's the pastor there. And I went there and got there and I saw Brother David and Miss Maggie, and I gave Brother David a big old hug and Miss Maggie. And Brother Rouse said, "Do you guys know this character?" Talking about me, asked him, said, "You mean you know this character?" And Brother David said, "Know him." He said, "That man right there is my spiritual daddy right there. That's the one that led me to the Lord." Wouldn't you like to have that on your resume? You can do it. They're all over the place. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says. Verse 19, "For what is our hope? Our crown of rejoicing." That's the crown of rejoicing. "Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ?" You know what that is? That's that soul winner's crown. That's that rejoicing when you meet the Lord. And hey, that soul that you led to Jesus Christ. Whoa! Won't that be something? Before you leave this old earth, lead somebody to the Lord. I'll tell you, one of the best soul winners I've ever known in my life was Bob Smith. Sit right there. Some of you don't know him, but that was one of the gruffest,
roughest cats you ever wanted to meet in your life. That guy, wasn't he, Miss Rita? I mean, he is hard to get along with sometimes, I'll be honest with you. He talked like this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that guy led people of the Lord all over the place. He didn't pass out tracts, he said. He said, I don't pass out tracts. I just tell them they're going to hell. He led a 95-year-old lady at the Walmart to the Lord here a while back in line. He was in his little car, and he started preaching. These ladies told him, said, you're going to hell if you hadn't trusted Jesus Christ. One of them got mad and said, I don't like what you're saying. I'm not going to listen to you. And a couple of ladies, other ladies there said, we're staying. I want to hear what he's got to say. Led him the Lord. Had an insurance man come by his house. I could give you all kind of things about Brother Bob. And the insurance man come by to sell him life insurance. And Brother Bob tried to give him eternal life insurance. Brother Bob told him, you're going to hell, fella. Going to hell. And the guy got mad. Slammed the door. Ran out of the house. Got in his car. You ever been to Brother Bob's house? He's got a long driveway to the road. And Brother Bob, that car went down the driveway and it stopped before it got to the road. And the guy was just sitting there. And this poor Brother Bob was really sick. And Brother Bob ran down the road as fast as he could. And that guy was sitting in the car weeping and crying. And he led him the Lord. He's probably the least likely guy to be a soul winner. He led people all over the place to the Lord. You say why? Because he did it. I remember Brother Robert Mills tickled me. One day he told me he brought a friend of his. His name was Jack. Jack was the mayor of Leeds. And him and Jack were out and about, Robert was telling me, and they decided they run by Bob Smith's house. And so they was going by and see Brother Bob, say hello. And Brother Robert said he went in there and talked to Brother Bob, introduced Brother Jack to Bob. He said, Brother Bob, this is Jack. And Brother Bob shook his hand. He said, fella, you saved going to hell. You saved going to heaven, or you lost going to hell? That's the first thing he asked him. So I wouldn't do it that way. He did it. And it worked. You know what it is? Just do it. Do it. Jude chapter 1:22. It says, some having compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Paul said, I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some. You and I can make a difference. Before you leave this earth, before you kick the bucket, lead some people to God. I could give you so many examples. Read your Bible from cover to cover. Lead somebody to the Lord. I want to say before you leave and before you kick the bucket on your bucket list, learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to know God. Praying's not something natural. It's not natural for us to sit around and talk something in the dark. It's not natural for us to walk around and talk like that. It said the natural man receives not the things of God. It says the carnal man is the enemy of God. You know what? Prayer is something you have to sacrifice the natural man. You have to sacrifice the carnal man. And it's total faith when you pray to the Lord. Learn to pray. Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. He put limbs back on them. He healed maimed people. He could walk on water. He did all kinds of miracles. And the only thing the apostles ever asked Jesus Christ to teach them is in Luke 11:1, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to spend time with God. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off all that stuff and find some time for God. I love to walk and talk with the Lord. I go down to Cosby Lake. And man, I'll walk around that thing, and the whole time it's me and the Lord. We're just meditating, musing, and walking and talking. And I love it. Before I was went around Cosby Lake, I had my job there at Baptist, and Century Plaza was still open. I go to Century Plaza and walk around Century Plaza and talk to the Lord and witness to people. Woo! That was fun. Later on, they got some treadmills there and got a little gym in my place. And I'd go on the treadmill about every morning about 9 o'clock if I could swing it. And I'd go in there for about 30 or 45 minutes and get on that treadmill. And it had TVs there all over. Had it fixed up nice, big old flat screen TVs up. I never turned them on. I had people come in and say, hey, won't you turn the TV on and talk, watch the TV? And I'd say, because I'm talking to the Lord a little bit in here. And I was. Learn to pray. Learn to find that quiet time. Turn the stuff off. Turn all the junk off. Find that place where you can get along with God. Maybe it's a prayer closet. Maybe it's like I like to sit in a swing on my deck sometimes and just talk to the Lord. Sometimes I'll get down in the basement. I'll walk up and down the basement. My wife can tell you. She'll see me down there walking. Walking up and down it. She said, "What are you doing?" I'm just talking to the Lord. Walk and talk with Him. A lot of preachers I read about do that. Charles Spurgeon used to get up in the morning, take his daily walk with the Lord. Said about Adam, he walked with God. I just want to walk with the Lord. Talk to God. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. That old song said, "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses." You know what that is? That's early in the morning. And that song keeps going. And a voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And a voice I hear falling on my ears. None other can ever own. That song goes on to say, I'd stay with Him overnight around me and be falling. See, Austin Mills that wrote that song was never in a garden. He was laying in a bed, bedridden all his life, disabled. When he wrote that song, he was in a basement down there in a dark, dingy, dingy basement. He was crippled, laid in bed all his life, and he wrote that song. Sounds like he's walking in the garden. So what was he doing? He was praying to the Lord. Learn to pray. Lead somebody to the Lord. Read that Bible. I want to say tonight, lay up some treasure in heaven. Lay up some treasure in heaven. Give God some. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves can break through from steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Listen, if you don't tithe, start tithing. I've taught it to you. Brother, that's all through the Bible. That's not under the law. If anybody tells you that, they're lying to you. That's over there, Abraham, before the law. He tithed to Melchizedek. Jacob tithed. That's throughout the Bible. That's a tenth. Ought to come to this church. This is the storehouse. Lay up treasures in heaven. Don't be stingy with God. Because I'm going to tell you, everything you give God one day is going right up there in its proportion. I have, and I'm not bragging, it's nothing to brag about. Everybody Christian ought to do it. I have given God more money than I've ever put in a house. I have given God more money. I started when I got saved, right after I got saved, I started tithing. I knew tithing. My wife's here, she can say amen. We have tithed ever since we've been married. You can go back there and look at our church records. I've never, never, never missed a Sunday in this church I didn't tithe. If I was out of town, I called back up. You go to Southside Baptist Church where I came from for 3 years and look at their records and they'll show you I have never, 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 never. And by the grace of God, I won't. You say, why? Because I'm no fool, man. I know where that's going. Not going to Pearl Lake Baptist Church. It's not going to Southside Baptist Church. It's going to my account in heaven. People put a lot of money in these 401ks. I call it my 620M. Matthew 6:20. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Lay up some treasures in heaven. That Bible's clear. It's clear. You can't miss it. All throughout the Bible, that Bible says to give and give. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. God loveth a cheerful giver. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. Lay up treasures in heaven. Give. Give. This is where God puts you in this church. Give to it. Tithe to it. If you can't tithe to this church, something's wrong. You ought to feel good. You ought to feel cheerful to tithe and put that money in the place of this church. Ought to be it. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. I heard this guy, the joke one time about this guy, a lot of truth. And he was a rich fella, pretty well off, often played to come by. He'd throw a few dollars here and there, you know. No, nothing serious. He'd throw a few dollars up. He died, went to heaven, and he got up there, And it had a little old shack with his name on it. Some of the shingles hanging off. Little old shack. He said, "Hey, is this all I got?" And they said, "Hey, this is all you gave us to work with, is this." And there's a lot of truth to that. Read your Bible. Brother, everything you do down here proportionally is going to be up there. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Read your Bible. Lead someone to the Lord. Learn to pray. I want to give you one more real quick. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm trying to help you. These are common sense things. You shouldn't have to preach these things. You shouldn't have to ever preach, read your Bible. Man, that ought to be... I should never have to preach to lead somebody to the Lord. We got tracks, we got cars, we got buttons, we got bumper stickers. Shouldn't have to preach that. Every Christian ought to be doing that. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Shouldn't have to preach that. Shouldn't have to preach, learn to pray. Prayer ought to be our life. Prayer for everything. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Shouldn't have to preach tithing and laying up treasures. That ought to be so natural to you. Anybody that's ever remotely picked up the Bible, it's there. Talking about our bucket list. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll give you one more. The only way you're going to do this one is if you do the first four I gave you. The only way you're going to do this one is you read that Bible. You tithe. You lay up treasure. You lead some people to the Lord. You're a witness for God. You pray. The only way, this last one, and this might be the most important one. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It says this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul's getting ready to die. He says, "For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." They're fixing to cut his head off. "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Watch it. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day." Watch it. "And not to me only," watch it, "but unto all them also that love His appearing." I want to say, on your bucket list, you need to get prepared for God, and you need to be able, when you die, when you kick that bucket, you need to love His appearing. That's what Paul's talking about when he died. A lot of preachers teach that being the second advent. That can't be the rapture, because Paul didn't go up the rapture. Paul couldn't say it. "Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness," because he didn't see it. What that is, when someone dies and meets God, you will love His appearing. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians, when they meet God, they're not going to love His appearing. You say, why? Because they're not right with God. You know what he called it? A crown of righteousness. You know what that means? That means that you are right with God. And if you're not reading your Bible, you're not tithing, you're not praying, you're not witnessing, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are, you're not right with God. Period. Period. And I'm going to tell you, when you meet the Lord, if you don't get these things in line, prepare to meet God, you're not going to love His appearing. My little boy years ago, a good illustration about that. I was putting a sprinkler in my yard. I was watering the garden. A lot of times I put a sprinkler out there, Miss Martha, and I'd let them run through it and play in the yard. This time I was watering my garden. And I put the sprinkler out there. And I said, all three of them, Sarah was there. You remember, babe. And I put Rachel there. And Stephen, he is about 4 or 5 years old. I can still see him with this little blue and white striped shirt. And he's sitting there, Miss Liz. And I said, "Okay, guys, we're going to have a meeting." And I said, "See that sprinkler out there?" I said, "I don't want anybody running through it, okay?" I said, "If anybody runs through it, if you start running through the sprinkler, this is not a play sprinkler. I'm watering the garden." I said, "If you do it, I'm going to have to give you a spanking." Everybody understand? Everybody shook their hands. And I go in the house. And a few minutes later, Brother Al, I hear this. You know what it was? My little boy was running in the sprinkler. Now, he loved his dad. But I'm going to tell you, when I walked out on that that deck and he saw me, his eyes got about this big. But he didn't love my appearing right then. You say, why? Because he wasn't right with his dad. See? Now he loved me. He's my son. But see, that crown of righteousness and love is appearing. That means you're right with God. And you can't wait to see God. A lot of Christians can't. They're scared to meet God. They're scared of death. Listen, death, you ought to be like Billy Graham. They asked him, said, you afraid of death? He said, I look for death in great anticipation because I'll get to see my Lord. You ought to be to love his appearing. But a lot of God's people don't. Paul said, one time for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He was looking forward to meeting God. He was ready to love his appearing. I'm going to tell you, on your bucket list, you better get to the place in your life and get right with God. Get that stuff in order that you can love his appearing. Because a lot of God's people won't. You say, why? They're not right with God. That crown of righteousness means that you're right with God. All those songs we sing here. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever. Of his saving grace on the streets of glory. That ought to get a shout to you. And let me tell you, the only way you're going to get to that is when you die and meet God. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. That's the way it ought to be. But a lot of God's people, it's not that way. You say, why? They're not right with the Lord. And they're not going to love his appearing. They're not reading the Bible. They're not tithing. They're not witnessing. They're not doing the things they know to do. And they know to do them. They just don't do them. The Bible says one time, it said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. They know to do it. But for some reason, they just won't do it. They won't do it. And you're going to end this life one day, friend, and it's coming in. It's going to end soon. It's going to be in soon. Last week, how much time did you give God? How much time did you spend in that Bible? You had a whole bunch of hours. How much time do you waste sitting in front of a boob tube? How much time do you waste on the internet? How much time do you waste doing this and waste doing that? How much time just went down the tube? How much time that you put in the bank of heaven and you gave to God? You look back this week, look back on last week, you look back and say, man, I didn't give God much. I wasted that week. Wasted this month. Wasted this year when you could have took that time out and spent some time with God and the Word and witnessing and doing things for God. My kids, when they were growing up, they wanted to play the piano. And Esther taught them at first. When they were little guys, they loved, you know how they are. They wanted to play, man. They excited about it. She taught them for a while. Then we had other teachers through the years teach them. And it called. We had to pay a pretty good bit of money to pay for their piano lessons through the year. We made them take piano lessons. They didn't have a choice. They took piano lessons till they went to college. And one time my son came to me and he said, Dad, I'm just not interested in this piano stuff anymore. And he said, Dad, you're wasting your money on me. I said, well, son, you just keep practicing. I'll keep wasting my money. My daughter came to me several times, Brother Al. She said, Dad, she said, I'm just tired of taking piano. I've been taking all my life. And she said, I'm just wasting my time. I said, you just keep practicing, baby. You just keep practicing. I'll keep paying. You know, my kids have told me later on, Brother Al, my daughter said, Dad, I'm so glad you didn't let me quit taking piano. She can play. They can both play. My daughter could come here and play. And she'll come around the house, she'll sit at the piano and play. Right now they're trying to get their little boy, 6 years old, he's starting to play. And she said, Dad, I'm so glad you didn't let me quit. She said, if I'd have quit all that time, I'd just waste it with nothing to show. She said, now I can play the piano. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it. This thing's going to be over quick. David Cassidy, that famous teenage idol, I told you his last words were, a wasted life. A wasted life. Don't waste it on the world. Don't waste it on the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't waste it on the boob tube. Don't spend watching that thing when you need to be in your Bible. Don't waste your whole life on this thing. I had an uncle, got saved years ago, and one of the first guys I ever witnessed to.
I hadn't been saved very long. And his name was Blue, Uncle Blue. And Blue was dying of cancer. And he's down at my aunt's house, and he's laying on the bed there. And my mother told me, she said, Blue's dying down. They didn't have hospice back then. This was 40 years ago. And she said, he's down there dying. He was in his 40s or 50s, a little about that big. He was a drunkard and alcoholic. He lived in rescue missions and hot freight trains and anything he could. He was just a bum, an old drunkard. My aunt down there, Annie Ma, her house was a house of prostitution. That's all it was. You go in there. I went down there and witnessed to him at night, and there was women running around half naked and drinking and went men all. It was just terrible, terrible thing to go in. And that Blue, he's laying over there on a little cot in a corner, and it's dark in that place, and smoke all over the place, and liquor all over the place. And I got bent by him, and I seen him as one of the first guys I ever witnessed to. And I said, Blue, I'm glad it's his boy. It's my mom. I said, I'm glad it's his boy. And I said, Blue, I'm a Christian. Blue, I'm a Christian. I got saved. And I said, Blue, you're dying. You're going to die real soon, Blue. And I said, I'm here to talk to you about the Lord. I'm here to tell you how to be saved, Blue. And he told me this. His eyes were all shrunken in. I can still see his face and all just cancer eating him up. And his eyes was all red. And he told me he got saved a few months before at a Jimmy Hale rescue mission downtown. And I got talking to him, and he said, I got saved a few months ago. He started crying. He told me this. I've never forgot this. It's echoed in my life. And he said, I wish I could have done something for God. I wish I could have done something for God. He said, I wasted my whole life. That echoed my whole life. By the grace of God, I'm not going to waste this deal. It's too important. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, this evening, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. And Lord, thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for the opportunity, the greatest opportunity in the whole world to serve you. Thank you, God, for giving us the Word of God. Thank you for giving us that book, God, we can hold in our hand and read it, God. There's people around the world that's never seen the Bible, Lord. Thank you, God, for these tracts and the freedom we have in this country to go out and witness and tell people about Jesus Christ. Wow, what a joy, what a privilege it is, God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this life that you've given us. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Thank you for this life that you've given us, God, that we can serve you. And Lord, do something, God, and make a difference. And get some folks in heaven, Lord. Get some folks out of hell. And encourage some folks along the way, God. And Lord, be a light in this dark world, Lord. And God, help us, God. Help us not to waste this life sitting around the world, God, and just giving everything to them, God. Help us to be disciplined, Lord. Help us to be a disciple, a disciplined one, God, of you. Discipline our lives and not let this flesh control it and everything about it, God. But set that time aside for you and spend time with you and pray, God, and in the Word of God, witnessing God, so that one day, Lord, we can love your appearing, Lord. Father, pray your blessing now upon the message, Lord. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.